On the phone with Matt. Hello, everybody. So, I'm in the Halloween spirit right now. We have like a week and a half, something like that, to Halloween. And I have previously recorded a Halloween special, but I can't stop thinking about the stuff. So my next shows are going to be Halloween-y. Right now, I'm laying on my bed because I broke my ankle, which I mentioned in my last episode. So this is what happened with that. I'll catch you up on that and then bust into the Halloween aspect of this show. So I went to the doctor. I went to an orthopedic doctor to find out exactly what happened. And when I fell and twisted my ankle, I actually sprained it so hard that it broke. So I got a sprain and a break. And the doctor actually said, the orthopedic doctor said that he was going to treat it as a sprain because that was essentially what it is. So I forgive me, I don't know the name of the bone, but there's this little teeny tiny bone on your ankle, the outside of your ankle, kind of on the, you know how your ankle sticks out there a little bit? On the bottom part of that is where the bone is. Now, the bone is right next to another bone, of course, and they are connected with a tendon. He said that tendon typically tears down the middle in situations like this. But in my case, it didn't. It pulled. So the tendon is attached to the one bone, and then it's attached to the little bone, but by another smaller bone. And it pulled that little smaller bone off that it's attached to. So that's the part that broke. That's an actual fracture. So what they said is, it will heal on its own. I can walk on it, which I have been, because using crutches sucks. But if I go outside, if I leave the house, I got to put a boot on and I have to hobble around like that for a while. So currently, I'm unable to bend my foot up or down, which they want me to do to, you know, like exercise it, to work it out, stretch it out a little bit. I keep trying. I do as much as I can. But I'm trying it right now. And it's really, really hard to do. Really painful. The swelling has gone down quite a bit, which is good. I can't really curl my toes either. I'm trying that. And I have this really sharp pain on the inside of my ankle too. And right under my ankle on that side, it's really like red, dark red and bruised. So I've never had that happen with a sprain before. And I sprained my left ankle horrendously when I was a kid because of some ice on the ground. And it has been bad ever since, of course, like sprains are. So this one is, of course, going to be bad for the rest of my life, most likely, which is fine. I don't like walking anyway. So he said it'll take probably 3 to 4 weeks before I'm like good enough that I can walk okay again and be on it for extended amounts of time, I guess. He wants me off of work for 4 weeks until I see him again. And then outside of that, I have another 2 to 4 weeks before it should be healed as far as the fracture goes. So that's where I'm at now with that. And it really sucks, but it is what it is. I can't drive still. Luckily, my wife and I have a very supporting family who are helping us out in this difficult time, which is very difficult. But my mom is helping out greatly, and I love her for it. So we're going to be okay. That, and I got really good news yesterday. My wife got a fantastic job working from home. And we're going to be okay. We're going to be just fine once she gets going with that. Unfortunately, it's not until the second week of November when she'll get started. But we know it's coming, and we know it's going to be excellent. So there's that. Now, you'll probably hear me, like, right now, rolling around on my bed, trying to get comfortable. And yeah, my bed is noisy. Here we go. Okay. So, on with the Halloween. Now, I am very much into the paranormal. I have a ghost blog that I've been writing for a few years now. Kind of to document all of the paranormal things that have happened to me over the years. Just a place to keep it all, you know, so I don't have to hold on to the memories. If you're interested in that at all, that's cincinnatighosts.wordpress.com. And I have, like I said, I got tons of stories on there, not just from me, but from others who I know, friends, family, who've had experiences. My dad's had a ton of experiences, and I'm pretty sure that that's like his life. He's just cursed with it. And because of that, I guess I got it from him. I've had quite a few myself. And my mom also has had quite a few. And so together, they had me and gave it all to me, I guess. So anyway, if you're interested, check that out. I've posted quite a few of those stories on Reddit and got a lot of really good reception. Some have even turned them into podcast episodes or YouTube video episodes or things like that. So that's really neat too. And lo and behold, here I am telling my own ghost stories on my own podcast. And I hope you enjoy them. Also, one last thing before I get into it, I wanted to let you know that I have been approved for sponsorships on this show, which is crazy to me. And I'm going to try that out on this episode to see how it goes, to see how it flows and how it works. And hopefully it'll go smoothly. It won't take too long. And you will not notice a thing, maybe. Or you'll notice it and hate it and never listen to me again. But if you're still listening at this point, I'm sure nothing can keep you from listening now. So, with that said, there will be a little break here in a little while, and it'll be a sponsorship ad, and then we'll come right back to the show. And if this works out, then it'll happen on every episode afterwards. Just saying. Because, yeah, I'd like to make a couple extra bucks. Especially now that my wife has this awesome job, I gotta help support somehow. Since I can't work for the next 4 weeks. Okay. So, I think the story I want to tell now, because now that we've moved into our new place, we have internet, we have good internet now, and because of that, I'm able to watch all my streaming services now again for the first time in like a year. And I discovered a show that I had not previously known about called Paranormal Caught on Camera. If you've seen it, you know it's an awesome show. I'm hooked. And then I also saw a show, I guess it was last night I discovered it, and I can't remember the name of it now. The Dead Files, I think. That's a pretty cool show too. So, on one of those, they were showing somebody using a Ouija board. And that reminded me of the experience I had with a Ouija board. And this actually, it wasn't my experience. I just happened to be talking to people who had experienced it. And anyway, I'll get to that. So this is why I believe in the Ouija board. And let me preface this with, I really am up in the air with Ouija boards because they're human operated, and a majority of them now are made by Parker Brothers. So I'm not entirely sure that a mass made fabricated Ouija board by the same people who make board games is a legit way to talk to the dead. However, I do believe in talking to the dead. I believe in the afterlife. I believe in the paranormal, as I've said. So I believe that there can be some truths to the Ouija board. I believe that you can have positive experiences with it as far as actually communicating with spirits. That's what I believe. If you don't believe that, I get it. I really do. But for me, this is the reason why I believe. So when I was a kid, I lived in this house with my dad, and he and my mom had divorced right after we moved in, which was kind of bullshit on their part. But that's a whole other story that I'll probably never share here. So my dad met his next wife, my stepmom, and her three daughters, and moved them in. And it was a little cramped, but we made it work. We had a really good family when things got started. I had my own bedroom. Naturally, my dad and stepmom had their master bedroom, which is now no longer called a master bedroom, by the way. And then the three stepsisters had this tiny little bedroom that was just wide enough for a bed to lay long ways in it. It was like a decent walk-in closet as a bedroom. But like I said, we made it work. So not all three of them stayed in the room at the same time. Over the years, they would switch who had the room. My oldest stepsister moved in with a friend of hers at one point, so she wasn't there. And then we had a hideaway bed and the living room couch that was used a lot. And over the years, one or two of my stepsisters would go into the attic and sleep up there. So they would move their stuff up into the attic and live there. Or not live, but that would be their room. And that didn't last long. Anytime that they did it, that didn't last long. We didn't move a lot of things up there for them. And usually it was just a mattress and a couple of little things here and there, and that was it. So the house was extremely haunted. Extremely, and I mean extremely haunted. So there were six of us living in the house. And we lived there 6 years. And apparently there were six spirits haunting the house. Now, I don't know about that part. But the whole six thing was kind of creepy and apropos. So this is what happened with the Ouija board. And again, if you want to read more stories about what happened in that house, feel free to head up cincinnatighosts.wordpress.com. And I think it's called The House on there, The House I Grew Up In, something like that. There's quite a few parts to the story. So this is what happened with that. My one stepsister and I, who were the same age, we became pretty good friends, and we would walk to school together, and she would tell me different things that happened in her life. See, she blossomed a little earlier than I did as far as social, being social. So she would hang out with people. She had friends. She'd go to different people's houses. She'd have friends over all the time for the night. And I had friends too, but it wasn't quite that serious. I was still very much a kid, and she was already moved on to her teenage years before she was a teenager. So she got into some things a little differently than I did. And this was one of them. One morning on our way to school, she told me that her and her friends had used a Ouija board in her room, which at that time was that little tiny room. And this is what she was told by a spirit. She was told this, but this is what happened. And keep in mind, this is when I think I was in the third grade. So this would have been right around 80. Let's see. Third or fourth grade. And it would have been, I'm trying to do the math here. And if you read anything different on the blog, yeah, my memory, like I said, I documented it all so I could get it out of my mind. And now I don't really remember like the dates, but it was in the late 80s to early 90s. This is when this happened. So she said the night before, I guess it was, I don't know, weekend or whatever. She also had a tendency to never sleep and never go to school. Yeah. So she said that her and her friend did this Ouija board, and they talked to a kid, 16-year-old white boy with blonde hair and blue eyes, and his name was Keith Zeus. Yeah, well, kind of a strange name. Right. So he said that he was buried under our house. Now, that's a little creepy, but, you know, it's talk. Even if, at this point, I fully believed everything that was said, which I didn't, even at that age. Yeah, buried under the house. That's just, like, typical, right? The house we lived in was a ranch, and it was a slab. So, if he was buried under the house, it had to have happened before the house was built, and the concrete was poured. That doesn't mean it couldn't have happened, but chances are good it didn't happen, right? And he kept asking her, and I guess the friend, if they would be his girlfriend. Did I mention he was 16? Yeah. So she said, I asked, even then I knew. And I said, what did you tell him? And she said, no, we always said no. And I said, that's good, because if you said yes, you would have been like welcoming him into your life, into your body. He could have possessed you. He could have done anything, used you as a host, you know. And I'm not sure how I learned that, but that was the first time I remember ever having thought that or said it to anybody. But it sounded right. And that was it. That was the whole damn thing. I forgot about it. I mean, it wasn't very long after that that I forgot about it. I definitely didn't think about it much. I didn't tell my friends about it. I didn't tell anybody about it. And even though she was in the same grade as me at that time, she had a different class. Now, back then, the elementary school we went to had two classes for every grade. And she was in one, and I was in the other. So we weren't even in the same... Oh, I'm sorry. I got my notifications on again. Let me turn that off. Okay. So, she didn't even talk to the people I talked to. And I'm just not really sure how this next part would have happened, basically, is what I'm getting to. So, fast forward to the 10th grade. We're talking potentially 5-6 years later. At this point, I had already moved out of the house years prior. And I hadn't seen her, my stepsister, in that amount of time, maybe a little longer. And I hadn't even talked to her in that amount of time. So, again, this is a long story that you'll probably never hear. I was sitting in class with this girl behind me, and this girl, she and I had gone to elementary school together. We were in the same class, and actually we had dated a few times growing up. And when we were kids in elementary school, we lived a couple blocks away from each other, but she never came to my house. She wasn't allowed, and I totally understand that. Her family was a little, religious. They were kind of a lot religious, to the point of being crazy about it. And my dad's a biker. So yeah, we ran into each other one day on the playground after it was not during school. It was like my dad and I took our dog and we walked down to the school, which was also just a couple blocks away from both of us. And we were hanging out at the behind the school on the swing set and just having a good time. And she showed up with her mom to do the same thing. And that's when her mom and my dad met. And that's when her mom decided she wasn't allowed to come to my house ever. But I was allowed at her house, of course. So I just don't know. I don't think she ever met my sister, my stepsister, or any of them. As far as I know, she only met my dad that one time. Aside from me, that was it. So I really don't know how she would have ever heard this. Or I've been thinking about this since it happened. And I just can't. I'm sure there's going to be a skeptic out there thinking, well, obviously she heard this from somebody. And, you know, feel free to think that way if you want. I have a more open mind. I would like to believe that we don't know everything, because we don't. And if you're a skeptic, you think you do. And you don't have an open mind. So this girl, her and I would occasionally, now this was English, I believe, we had together. And every now and then we would write notes back and forth. Excuse me. That's not very good podcast etiquette, is it? It doesn't help that I'm laying in my comfortable bed. So she sends me this note and she says, oh my God, this last weekend, I was using a Ouija board and I got to tell you what happened. Now at this point, I didn't live in that house and she didn't live in her house. She had moved like catty corner across town. So we had lived kind of in the one corner of the town and she had moved to the opposite corner. And I don't know. Anyway, she sends me this note and she said she was talking on a Ouija board to a 16-year-old white boy. And he had blonde hair and blue eyes. And I froze. I hadn't thought about it since my sister had told me about it for years. And instantly, all of it came back to me. And instead of writing it down, actually, I did write it down. I said, was his name Keith Zeus? Did he keep asking you to be his girlfriend? And I sent it back to her and I gave it a second. I turned around to look at her and she was staring at me and she was pale white. She said, how did you know that? So I told her. And I said, where did he tell you he was buried? And wouldn't you know it, he did not tell her he was buried under her house. He said he was buried under a house in that city. So maybe he is buried under that house. Over the years, I've done a lot of Google searching for his name and for that address, and I have never found anything. And I've always thought about going to City Hall and looking up public records and trying to find something out that way, but I just never have. And one day I might, but I don't know. So that is why I believe in the Ouija board. I believe in it. I believe that at points it could potentially work for the desired effects or the desired whatever the hell that word is that I can't think of. Yeah. So I'll give you a minute to let that sink in, and we're going to go ahead and do the sponsorship thing now. I'm even going to use a little jingle here. I'll be right back. Welcome back. Hopefully that whole sponsorship thing worked, and hopefully you're a little creeped out about my Ouija story. So I'm going to finish this episode with another quick little story for Halloween. And the next episode, next Tuesday, will be a couple more ghost stories, followed by my Halloween episode that I recorded, which I'll air on Friday and a week from today. And that has more ghost stories. So, yay! Yay for Halloween. Yay for October, fall, all that stuff. I love this. This is my time of year. Totally. Okay. Now, I'm just trying to think of what other story to tell you because I have so many. Let me try to get more comfortable here. Okay, so the place where my wife and I just moved out of, there's quite a bit that happened there too. This would wind up being a very long segment, a long episode if I told all that stuff. So I'll just tell you the most recent. My dad, I was living, or we were living with my dad because he's getting old, and I wanted to keep an eye on him. And as it turns out, he doesn't need anybody to watch over him. And it's been so long since my wife and I have lived by ourselves without a roommate that we just decided to move out, and that's why we did. But while living there, we learned that it's very active as far as haunting goes. And I'm not really sure with what at this point, but I'm a little concerned that it may be something a little more serious than just a regular ghost or a regular spirit. Which, and let me also point out that I believe ghosts and spirits are pretty much the same thing. I know a lot of people don't. I just think it's two words for the same thing. But of all the things that have happened in that house, and there have been disembodied voices. There have been sightings of mists, like clouds, dark black clouds, that all three of us have seen on different occasions. My dad's seen it a bunch. My wife has seen it a few times, and I've only seen it once or twice. And apparently the bedroom that my wife and I had was the most haunted room, the whole place was the most haunted, but it seemed to centralize around our room. And we're really not sure either how this would have happened because as far as I know, that trailer that we lived in, my dad still lives in, is the only home that has ever been in that spot or on that land. But that land was also many, many years ago, occupied by, what are they called? Quakers, I think, and indigenous people. So, and there was a lot of quarrels between the two over land, of course. So that could be the reason. I really don't know. So many years ago, my dad, now this property also used to be a pay lake and campground. And I've been going there since I was a kid. My dad has been going there since he was a kid. And that's how it came to be that he now lives there. The business side of it has been closed for like 10 years. The old man who owned it for the last, I don't know, 50 years passed away a few years ago. And now my dad is the only living resident there. And he told me many years ago when it was still open as a pay lake that he ran into a guy who had no explanation for being there. Like, there was no way this guy should have been there. My dad was living in a little camper right on one of the two lakes. And that was like his favorite spot because he could just walk right out of his door and fish. And it happened to be one of the most awesome places there. And many, many parties have been held there. And I've been a part of almost all of them. So next to this camper was a shanty, I guess. It's like a shelter, basically, for pay lakes. A lot of them, or at least a lot of old ones, used to have them. They would be made out of aluminum or tin, and they were very noisy when it rained. But there would be three sides and a roof, and you could sit under them if it was raining and you were fishing or whatever. He had one of those next to his place. And he could not see on the other side of it. But on the other side of it, at least from where he was, on the other side of it, there was nothing. There was the second lake, and surrounding all of that was like cornfields. There was no homes over there. And behind it was a parking lot for the place, which was just a big gravel lot. And the driveway is like, I don't know, it's pretty long. It's, I wouldn't say a quarter mile long, but it's pretty long and it's all gravel. If somebody comes down that driveway, you can hear it, especially from where he was at. So he said one night he was sitting there reading a book or something, which he does a lot of. And this guy walks around that shelter and scared the hell out of my dad. So the guy asked my dad about the lake, and he asked about the owner and his wife. And my dad said, "Well, they're up at their place now if you want to go up and talk to them." The guy said, "No, I got somewhere I gotta be, but it was nice talking to you." And he turned around and walked back around the shelter. And my dad kept listening and listening. And he had never heard a car come down the drive. He had never heard a car door shut or an engine. And when the guy left, he didn't hear a car door or a car start or anything. So he got up and walked around the shelter, and there was nobody there. And again, there was nowhere for him to go but a cornfield or the woods or the lake. Or he just disappeared and went back into the netherworld. I don't know. So my dad went to the owner and his wife and described the guy and said, well, he said he knows you. And the owner, who was very good at remembering people, he had no idea who the guy was. Well, the guy made a comeback. He came back one other time. It was pretty much the same situation. My dad was sitting there outside of his place on this picnic table that was there. The guy walked around the shelter. Nobody else was at the lake. And no cars had come down the drive. And from where my dad was sitting, he could see across the lake, which there was a house on the other side of the woods from that lake. But if this guy had come from there, my dad would have seen him walking that way around the lake through the woods. And he did not. So after this meeting, which was very much similar to the first one, the guy said he had to go and he turned around and walked around the shelter. This time my dad jumped up and ran around the shelter and the guy wasn't there. And there was, I mean, even more so than the first time, there was nowhere for him to go in that amount of time, and no car, no nothing. He was gone. So that was one of the first things I ever heard about the place. And my dad told me at that time there were maybe two or three other people who lived there in their own campers. And this guy was not any one of them. So they all told me that they would constantly hear people, like cars driving down the driveway, parking right outside their camper. They could hear the engine. They'd hear a car door shut. They'd look and nobody would be there. No car, no people, no nothing. I don't know why the property would be that haunted, like the whole property would be haunted like that, but I mean, who's to say why any place is haunted? Except maybe Gettysburg. We know why that place is haunted. So many things have happened inside the trailer. And the last thing to happen is a knocking that my dad is still currently experiencing. He said, now he pretty much stays in his recliner in the living room. He said the first time it happened, it sounded like somebody was on the outside of the trailer knocking on the side down by the floor. Or they were under the trailer knocking on the bottom of the floor. And he said every time they knock, it's five knocks. And he said the knocking, well, he said there's maybe a few seconds to like maybe 30 seconds between knocking. So he said it'll be like five knocks real close to him in the living room. And then the next one will be a little further down the wall away from him towards what was our room. And then it would go all the way down the hall to our room. And one of the last times that it happened, he got up and went into the kitchen, which is next to the living room. And when the knocking got to there, he used his cane that he walks with to knock on the table five times. And when he did that, he said, the knocking responded. It knocked 5 times again, only it was twice as loud as it ever had been. And he said it's never been that loud before. But when it responded to him louder, he said, "What the hell?" And he said it happened again down the hall closer to my wife and I's bedroom. And it was twice as loud then too. And he said that was probably the 4th or 5th time that it has happened to him. And I remember him asking me if I had experienced it like a month ago. But I didn't think anything of it because I hadn't experienced it. And, you know, I just assumed it was something he was dreaming up or whatever. But no, he experiences it all the time. And that's just another thing that happens in that house. Maybe on Tuesday's episode, I'll tell you a little more about what goes on there. But for now, I'm going to leave you with that. And I hope it creeped you out enough that you have a little chill running up and down your spine all day. Maybe all weekend. How's that? If not, feel free to check out that blog and read up some more of my stories and, you know, have a creepy good time in this wonderful October. Happy Halloween to you. I say it early, and I'll say it again Tuesday and then again Friday next week. I hope you all have a good week, a good weekend, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.